A strange thing happened in my sophomore year of college. Oh, no, the event had nothing to do with alcohol. Although I was young and didn't know a great deal at the time about higher education, I'd only been at it for about a year, I did know I was privileged to be present for something very rare. We were in English class. The professor had been talking about the poetry of John Donne, and one student raised his hand and asked, did John Donne and George Herbert ever know each other? And the professor stared off into space, you know, the way they do, and he said, that's a very good question, but I don't know. And people looked down at their shoes, their eyes darted nervously around the classroom. A professor had just said, I don't know. I shall never forget it. It was 2 p.m., September 27th, my sophomore year. Isn't that why we pay teachers? To know. Well, I remember because today's gospel, which we've just heard read, had a similar effect on me. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, is asked by his disciples, when will this be? When will God bring God's promised work to completion? When will God's kingdom come? And God describes what the signs may well be and describes not to believe the false prophets. And in verse 32, Jesus simply says, I don't know. Only God knows. I don't know. Now, maybe I'm getting better the longer I teach and preach to be able to say these words. I don't know. As a young priest, these were hard words for me. I was somewhat intimidated by learned parishioners who had been in Bible studies longer than I had been alive. And so when asked a question, the answer to which eluded me at the time, I did all sorts of fancy footwork. I'd swerve, I'd duck. I found it very hard to say, I don't know. Maybe the more you know, the more you know how little you know. I know a professor of chemistry who said to me, you know, there's a sense in which I knew more as a freshman in my college chemistry class than I do now. Maybe our knowledge is like this island in a sea of mystery, and the more you know, the more the knowledge increases, the more the shoreline increases in this great sea of mystery. Still, it's a great shock to hear Jesus, of all people, say, I don't know, only God knows. In Jesus, we meet God. That must mean that Jesus is omniscient. No, there it is in scriptures. Jesus says, I don't know. The preacher Fred Craddock has noted that in Matthew 24:36, in a similar situation when Jesus is asked about the end of the world, Jesus says, I don't know. No one here knows the hour or the time when these things will be, only God. And Craddock says that you can find medieval manuscripts where the scribes are copying down this passage, and they just skip right over that sentence. They leave it out. It was so hard for those medieval scribes to write down the words of Jesus, I don't know. And it's particularly odd because if you know anything about Jesus, you know that he was rarely evasive. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest of the commandments? He nails it. They ask him about paying taxes to a foreign government. Very controversial question. He just barges right ahead and gives them an answer. They ask him about divorce and remarriage, and he goes right ahead and gives them an answer. But when they ask this particular question, when will these things be, Jesus? Jesus says, I don't know. Earlier, Jesus had taught his disciples to pray, Thy kingdom come. Question, when? When is the kingdom coming? And Jesus says, I don't know. You know Jesus' parables. Most of his parables were about the kingdom. He talked about the kingdom being a little seed, that seed that germinates and it grows and it grows. Or the kingdom is like a tree that bursts into blossom. Okay, the question is, when? And Jesus says, I don't know. They haven't asked him just any question. They've asked him a particular question. when. They lift themselves up off their beds of pain, and they want to know when. When is God's promised healing? Jesus, in a world where there is hatred and animosity and injustice, when is the justice and the love? When will our yearning and expectation be fed by your very promises of deliverance? When? When will they be fulfilled? And Jesus said, I don't know. Well, around here, a lot of the time, we ask questions of God through idle speculation. Why is there suffering in the world? How did he walk on water? But for the people who ask this question, this is no dormitory bull session. They needed to know. His disciples had staked everything on him. They had risked it all. They had followed him down this narrow way. And they want to know when. When is thy kingdom coming? When is the messianic reign? When? I've got a friend who says that he feels the greatest sin of the church is oversell. He feels nearly every Sunday he's the victim of false advertising. Church says, come in here and we'll fix what's wrong with you. Come in here, we'll give you some joy. We'll give you a vision. We'll give you heaven. We'll give you peace. We'll give you hope, reassurance. And then the sermon comes to a close. You've received communion. The last hymn is sung. And you go out into the world. And it sure looks like the same world you just left. My friend, therefore, keeps asking, well, when? When? I think this is the major reason why here at the beginning of the 21st century, people are still fooling around with fortune telling and astrology and things like that. 1700 years ago, St. Augustine, in his book, The City of God, considered whether astrology might have something going for it, whether or not you could tell the future by the stars. And that long ago, Augustine decided, no, that's silly. We human beings don't have it within our capacity to know with exactitude what's going to happen tomorrow. There's a woman on TV. She says she can predict for 90 cents a minute who you ought to marry, what stocks you ought to buy, what job you ought to take. I say, if she knows so much, how come she's got this crummy job on TV? But people want to know when. They didn't ask Jesus if God was coming into the world. They asked Jesus, when? That's the question. The when question. And it may be our major limitation. We know so much, but we do not know when. When? There was Moses. Moses was out working for his father-in-law Jethro out in Midian. He's keeping sheep, and suddenly a bush bursts into flames, and it's not consumed. And Moses says, I may have to check this out, see what's going on. The rabbis in their commentary on this passage in Exodus say, you know, when you're dealing with Moses, God has got to take spectacular measures to get his attention. Moses didn't know. He was just out minding his sheep for his father-in-law. He didn't know when God would call him to deliver the Hebrews out of slavery. Mary Magdalene, on that dreary Sunday morning, she's out there in the cemetery. She's got in her hands a clutch of flowers she brought at the grocery store. She meets the man out there in the cemetery. She assumes he's the gardener. She says, sir, do you know where they've taken my Lord's body? I can't find him. And he speaks, Mary. He calls her name, and she sees. She didn't know when she went out to that cemetery to meet this dead body that she would have her name called. She didn't know it would be when the risen Christ would intrude into her life. She didn't know when. She didn't know. And you don't know. When has your name been called? You're in the hospital. You're lying in the bed over there. Maybe it was the empty hours you had on your hands. Maybe it was something somebody said to you in a visit. You went over there to meet the neurologist, but later you said, no, it was God you met during that time. Your sickness became the occasion for salvation. You didn't know. You don't know about these things. But sitting in this very room, or stuck in traffic on Forest Park Parkway, or walking to your car at the mall, you don't know. Only God knows when. One of you told me coming in here to church, you said, I hardly ever walk into this church and I don't feel met by the presence of God. She said that's why she keeps coming back. I think that's why most of us keep coming back. That's why most of us are here today. We get met. And our humdrum, ordinary time suddenly becomes God's time. And we don't know when. Jesus said he couldn't tell us. You know, there seems to be something about God that's just sort of flirtatious. You know, Jesus is walking around along the temple and his disciples say, look at that beautiful building. Look at those huge stones. And Jesus says, God is going to transform all of this. God is going to keep on creating and recreating the world until it looks more like God wants. God is going to come in here and fix stuff. And they said, well, when? And Jesus said, I don't know. Nobody knows but God. Jesus told a story that in the end, all the nations of the world will be arrayed before the judge. And the judge will say, I was sick and you visited me. I was in jail and you came to see me. I was thirsty and you gave me a cup of cold water. Yeah, that was me. When? When did we see you, Lord? If we had only known, we would have, well, that's kind of the point. You didn't know. You didn't know when. These intrusions of God, they can't be programmed. Oh, we plan the liturgy, we plan the music, we rehearse, we prepare, but we don't know when. And maybe God does that to keep us on our toes. Or maybe it's another way for God to impress on us. Hey, I'm God. I will not be jerked around by you. I will go. I will come when you least expect it. I remember years and years ago, I was just fresh, new as a rector. It was the beginning of my time as the leader of the parish. And I was up to my neck in alligators. There were some parishioners who didn't like the last rector. There were some parishioners who didn't like me. There were lots of parishioners who didn't like each other. There wasn't enough money. I was tired. I was depressed. And one evening, Daisy and I were invited to a large dinner that was to benefit a historic house in Baltimore. We didn't know more than a handful of people at this benefit. I was seated next to a polite, middle-aged matron, clearly a member of Baltimore's smart set. I introduced myself. What do you do for a living? She asked. Well, I'm the rector of an Episcopal church in Virginia. How long have you done that? Well, I've been there about 3 years, I said. She looked at me and she said, are you going to do that for the rest of your life? And I looked, did the bishop send you here? Why would I be required to commit to this shaky, unfulfilling, uncertain venture here, now, in Baltimore, of all places? You don't know when. He didn't know when. Well, what if a little baby, about 8 pounds, 9 ounces, born in a little backwater town you've never heard of, born to an unwed mother, born out back in the stable, what if that turned out to be when? I'd want to be there, wouldn't you?